Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Infinite complacence, people went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, binning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
I live in New York City right now, but I grew up in Northwest rural Michigan, and I went to college in Michigan and all of that. I've been out here for about 4 years, but so this takes place back in Michigan. Technically, the place I'm from is a village. The population is only like maybe 2,500 people, a little less than that even. So a pretty small place. My high school class was like 81 people. About 400 kids in the school total. You know, you are with them pretty much your whole school career. You know everybody. So during the summer, it was summer of about 2006. I think it was probably June, early summer. We were already bored, me and my sister. I was probably about 10. I was turning 11 and going into the sixth grade, starting middle school. And my sister was in high school, about 15, 16, and her boyfriend was over. So her boyfriend had a car, and we decided we were just going to go for an adventure. My parents have a log cabin that they built, and it's about 15 minutes from, like, in town, what we call it, like, from where our school and everything was. And then, like, Michigan was about 5 minutes in the opposite direction. So we were in the car, and we were driving toward town, not really having a plan. We got to what we call Big Crick Hill. It's basically just like a bridge overpass that's on this road, straight shot right into town, 55-mile-per-hour road. And the bridge itself, I recently learned, is 83 years old. I didn't realize it was that old. And within the last year, they did like renovations to it and fixing it because it was getting dilapidated and everything. But this was way before then. So we decided to go down under the bridge, and I don't really know why we decided to do that, but it was just, we were driving, it was there, so we did it. Parked on the side of the road, which isn't the safest thing. There's not really, you know, an over, like a shoulder on the overpass, but whatever, stupid kids. Like I said, it was summer, so I was wearing shorts and flip-flops, and I'm sure my sister is wearing about the same. And we're going down this super steep hill, you know, down under this bridge, and in flip-flops, trying not to fall out of them, everything like that, just giggling and being loud. And then so we get down there, and we've never been down there before. I know people who have gone fishing in that area. There's a little creek that runs underneath. It's not super deep or anything. But some people would sit down there and fish and, like, catch and release, just kind of hang out. But that day, no one was down there. It was probably 70 degrees, super sunny out. It was kind of weird that no one was there. But we were just kind of exploring and, like, looking around. pretty much just dense woods, and then there was somewhat of a clearing that we were kind of walking on. It was pretty bright down there. Underneath the bridge, obviously, is like darker, but so we could see our whole surroundings and everything. And I went over to the edge of the creek, and it was pretty mucky on the edge, like on the shore. My flip-flop got stuck in the mud because I stepped too close, and I could not get my foot out. Like, clay mucks, like it starts to suck you in sort of thing. So I called back to my sister to help me, and her boyfriend's off somewhere. She's off. She runs over to help me, and she is, like, pulling on me, helping me get my shoe out, and finally get it out. I'm all muddy, whatever. We look down because we were just still standing there, helping me get my foot out, and we find this tiny little footprint in the mud, and like right next to where my shoe had gotten stuck. And we were just like, that's really weird. You know, you wouldn't think children would be down here, maybe, but it was odd. And then after that happened, we kind of looked at each other, and we both got this feeling of just eeriness. It was quiet, but it was still sunny out, but just like we were being watched, like something weird had happened. And then like as soon as we kind of acknowledged that, we heard something whoosh behind us. And it literally sounded and felt like a small child running behind us. And like no one was down there except us. So we like kind of freaked out, turned around to look because we didn't think it would be her boyfriend because he was like 6 foot tall, if not taller, like a pretty big dude. He would have made way more sound than that. So we turned around behind us to look, and we both looked, and there was this tiny wood pile, like chopped wood, like you'd see anywhere, but super small. And then leaning up against that wood pile was the smallest axe I have ever seen. It was like 4 to 6 inches long. And when we had walked into that area, and I walked over to the creek, like we did not see that at all. There was like nothing there. So it was really strange that that was there now. And we had thought the same thing, like, oh, well, there's no children. Children wouldn't be cutting wood. It's very strange. So then we sort of got freaked out because then we didn't know if someone was down there or they were messing with us or something like that. We got her boyfriend. He wasn't very far off. And we just like ran up back up the hill as fast as we could and got in the car to leave. And like we were talking about it, and I don't know why, but we just came to the conclusion of gnomes. Like, I guess maybe that was the most familiar thing to us. We weren't super into that sort of thing like I am now. Like, we liked aliens and all of that stuff, being 90s kids, obviously. But the term little people or, like, you know, the Pukwudgie and all of that stuff, I never really knew about until I got older. And I had kind of forgotten about this story. It was about 15-ish years ago. I was telling my fiance about it, and I was like, oh, let me see if she remembers. And I texted her, and I was like, hey, do you remember what we found under the bridge that one time? And my sister was like, the gnome. So, like, I knew it wasn't a fever dream. I knew I hadn't made it up in my head, and we still joke about it all the time. And when we came home, I'm pretty sure we had told my parents, and they just thought we were, like, messing around because we were weird.
That is actually pretty dang cool. So, tiny footprint. How tiny are we talking, do you think, if you could guess?
Probably, like I said, we thought maybe it could be a child's footprint, but that just logically didn't make sense to us in that area. And there was only one there. So it was probably like, I would say 3 inches maybe long.
And then the axe you said was about probably 4 to 6 inches long, right? That was leaning up against this little mini wood pile.
Yeah, like the handle of the axe, and then also like including the like actual blade part from top to bottom.
So the part where you said that you probably would have noticed this little wood pile with the axe leaning up against it if it had been there at the onset. So what are your thoughts on that whole situation? Was it really not there, and then somehow it just kind of appeared, like this whole other side of this dimension just decided to show itself, and here were these accoutrements of these gnomes?
I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it and how I've always felt about it, just because the way that area is, you come down off of the road, like just down the side and then down underneath the bridge, and there's not really any other way in there. Like, even coming from the opposite side, it's all woods. And there aren't really houses in that area. They are all elevated up on the hills on the sides. So I don't know how it would have just appeared there. Like you said, maybe there's another dimension down there, a portal or something, and it just appeared. But that's kind of what I feel like. Like, they were playing tricks or something and put it up to see if we notice or to scare us or something.
Yeah, and then the whole whoosh, that's what really made you turn around, right? I mean, was this sense of something running behind you?
Uh-huh, exactly, yeah. Because it was just the three of us down there, and like I said, it felt like a little child running behind us or something, but not super close, but close enough to hear the leaves on the ground rustle and then, like, feel the air.
Mm. Now, the boyfriend, did he actually see the woodpile and the footprint and the axe?
He did after we pointed it out, but he wasn't in that area. Like, he was in the same area as us. It's not a huge spot, but he was, like, off on the other side. So then after she helped me with my shoe, my sister, and then we had turned around and seen all that, we, like, went and got him, and he saw it, and then we were all freaked out and we left. We all got that feeling we were, like, being watched.
Mm-hmm.
He was feeling the same vibe as us as soon as, like, we had showed it to him.
And he agreed. It's like, what else do you label that but gnomes, basically, little people?
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't really have any experience with that either, obviously, being in high school in, like, that rural area. But that's what we all kind of decided that we thought it was.
Had you ever come across any other stories of anything like that in the area at all?
Not really. And at that time, I didn't really look it up. I've looked it up since then, but there is nothing of anyone I ever knew that was down there fishing and experienced something similar or anything like that. So that's another reason why it's just so strange.
That is such a cool story. Do you kind of wish that you would have actually seen one of these little dudes?
I mean, then I don't think I probably would have, but now I do. Since this has happened, I, like, always want something else to happen to me. I listen to, like, every cryptid podcast ever, I swear. And so I'm, like, into Bigfoot and aliens and skinwalkers and all of that stuff. And I feel like it would have made it a little bit of a cooler story if I would have actually seen one.
It is kind of neat, though, the mini axe, mini wood pile, and then the footprint. So it's just the one single footprint, right?
Yep, just one.
And it was super defined?
Yeah, like, it looked like it had just been, like, put there. Like, even just my footprint, like, when I pulled my shoe out, could have been the same time.
Oh, I love the little people, whatever they are, fae, I don't know what the heck they are, stories. Like, the one from, I always bring this one up because it just creeps me the heck out. But the one that John Olson told, or had told to him, he included in one of his books of the guy that went camping alone, and then he had been reading a book. And then the little person, I think that one was wearing overalls or something. It had clothes on, I believe. Sometimes they don't, sometimes they do, but it had come in after he had slept because he'd been hearing all those noises all night. And then he looked up in, at some point and saw this thing holding his book, which had meant that it had come in and had gone right by his head, right? And you're like, I don't know, that's kind of close.
I did some other research a little bit, and how you had asked if I had heard any other stories, and I hadn't really heard stories of people, but I guess that gnomes specifically are, like, sort of common in southeastern Michigan. So I was in northwestern Michigan, but it's supposed to be, like, one of the more native Michigan cryptids that they thought was interesting, if you want to call it a cryptid. And then I also in Michigan had read that there are, like, Native American spirits that somehow correlate to, like, little people, or they call them rock spirits. And then it had said, what I was reading, it had said that they like to be by sandy hills or water, like Great Lakes. And my experience is about 15 minutes from sand dunes, and then also about 5 minutes from Lake Michigan. So I thought that was kind of interesting also.
Oh, that is cool. Rock spirits. That's interesting. I don't know if I've ever heard that term before. I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, it said it mostly pertains to the Cherokee, which aren't very common around that area. we have like Ojibwe, Ottawa, and Potawatomi, but I figured maybe there was some sort of similarity there. I'm not really sure. The location wise just kind of solidified it for me, though, the Great Lakes and the Sandy Hills.
It's so opposite of what your brain kind of goes towards, especially on a sunny, you know, summer day in June when you're just looking for something to do that you're not bored, right? I mean, it just not doesn't seem like a creepy day. It's sunny and, like you said, like 75 degrees out, and you're just out there in flip-flops having a good time, and then something really, really creepy happens in broad daylight.
Yeah.
I can relate to that very well, as you know. So this whole situation with southeastern Michigan, you actually did come across them being quite prevalent down there?
Yeah, what I had looked up said most sightings that have been reported have been in southeast, like near Detroit or the Thumb area.
And were there any good descriptions of those? You know, were they clothed? Did they carry axes or any tools or anything like that?
What I had read was that they have been described as, people generally say, with like the pointy hat sort of thing that you think of with a gnome. That was in some of the cases. Some of the other ones I had read said like a hairy face, kind of like a beard, but like more animalistic. It kind of sounded like sort of like how you hear Bigfoot described as, more human, but furry. And then there were other cases where they had said, some people said they were wearing clothes and some they weren't wearing clothes, or they were like ratty, tattered clothes. But they were all kind of within a range of differentiation.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. It just depends on the situation and who you're with, which at least you weren't alone. But, you know, when you go off of, well, it would be cool to see one, I totally agree, by the way. But, you know, your situation would probably be a little bit better than, like, that dude's situation where he was camping by himself and realized that it had come in while he was asleep and stole his book, essentially. So, yeah.
That's so scary.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not unlike either the stories that Pam had told on ITF about her fae experiences, right? Like some of the smaller ones that they would actually, even her grandma would leave these little trinkets and things for, and she had actually seen them coming in and trying to either take or play with these trinkets that had been left.
Yeah. My friend and I actually, around the same time, she had a fairy book, and we would make little things like that, and nothing ever happened. But that was also something we were kind of into, trying to get them to come. Yeah.
Yeah, some of those fae stories are pretty cool, and others are really, really quite scary. It depends on, I guess, the ones that you see. I mean, Pam would even see the ones that had basically sharp teeth and things like that, and you're kind of going, that may be on the no list.
Some things I've also heard, stories I've heard of fairies with the fae, with like other dimensions and things like that too. So those are kind of similar in that aspect.
Yes. That's why when you, the second you're like, hey, I'm pretty sure that we would have noticed had that have been there, which I totally agree, because that would have been very strange. I mean, even a regular axe with a wood pile would have been a little disconcerting down there, but yeah. A small one would have probably caught your attention. That's what made me kind of think, well, gosh, I mean, it sounds like kind of the fae, like dipping in and out, you know, kind of in that almost what they call like some kind of a glamour zone, or, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, just kind of seeing things that maybe you normally wouldn't be able to see.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But I wonder what triggers that, you know? And I wonder if it was two other kids down there, or three other kids down there, would they have seen that? Would they have had that experience? Or was it something special about you guys?
Yeah, I had thought about that too, not thinking I'm special really or anything necessarily, but just the fact that I was that much younger, and like now I want things to happen to me, but like there's supposedly that level of being in tune or like believing in that sort of thing, and that I do, but as you're a kid you have that imagination and that you're just more open to anything.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, did that frighten you at all, to where you're kind of going, okay, that was like your realization that there are other things out there that, you know, maybe even though your mom and dad maybe thought it was kind of funny, like you're like, no, I know what we saw, but did it freak you out at all?
Yeah, at the time, because like I said, it was funny, like we had said, but it just that feeling, like the kind of feeling that you had, it should have just immediately gotten dark. Like that sort of, oh, someone is watching me, like this is creepy, like it was kind of quiet, and it just in the moment freaked me out. And then like when we would cross that bridge, because we'd have to go across it to and from school and the store and everything like that, I always get this creepy feeling. But now that it's been so much time, even I was just home like 2 weeks ago and driving over it, I'm in the car, I'm always just like, hi gnomes, talk to them as I drive over. So it's kind of more funny now, but definitely in the moment I was very scared.
Okay, yeah, so just in the moment. Well, that's good. At least you didn't go home and you couldn't sleep for a couple weeks or something because you're like, okay, there are gnomes under the, literally gnomes living under that bridge that we cross every single day. Well, that is a cool story. Andy, I like that one a lot. That you just don't hear about these little guys too much, you know? We are going to take a quick break with a word from our sponsor. So guess what? Taking good care of your skin isn't just for the ladies. Geology is a skincare regimen for men looking to reduce lines and wrinkles, dark circles, acne, and achieve healthier, younger-looking skin. And hey, we're all trying to get back into the swing of things, right? You may be back to work, going to the gym, maybe even trying to eat better. So why not complete your self-care routine by taking care of your face? This stuff is personalized. You take the quick online diagnostic, inputting your desired results, and a dermatologist works their magic, recommending your skincare routine. Your four Geology products are then mailed promptly to your door. It is highly effective, which is evident from its over 3,000 five-star reviews. Save up to 40% off your first purchase of a trial set. Head over to geology.com/fray to get started. That's geology.com/fray.
It kind of bums me out too, because I, like I said, I listen to a lot of podcasts. Monsters Among Us is the first podcast ever, let alone cryptid podcast, I listened to, and then Into the Fray is then the second one. And I've been listening to those for about the last 3 years. When people call in, like, I love hearing the other stories, but I just want to hear one that's similar to mine or, like, the word gnome. Like, there's maybe been one that I've heard.
Yeah, they are few and far between. That's why when you commented, I was like, I am going to message Andy right now. Because a lot of times, you know, the second it airs, then, you know, maybe somebody that's been kind of on the fence about sharing, they might actually get in contact, and that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Or they're feeling like I was, where I'm like, did I make that up? Was that a dream?
Yeah, and it can, you know, sometimes be easier to tell yourself that, but then you're like, well, no, it wasn't, because, you know, I saw the footprint and the axe and the woodpile, and yeah, and that whoosh thing. That whoosh, if we knew what that meant or what that was, I think that's the key to a lot of this stuff. A lot of times it's a sound or then a feeling comes over you and then, I don't know, it's like it turns something on or unlocks something. I don't know. It's, of course, a mystery like everything else, but that there's something in that whoosh.
Yeah, and I've always wanted to go back down there. I just never have. And then with moving away to college and then now I'm in a totally different state. I just never have. And then now, like I had said in the beginning, they did like renovations to it and fixed the bridge, because some of the pictures I sent you can see it's like falling apart. And so I just wonder if, since they did all that construction on it, if such things are down there that they're still there, or if that kind of stirred them up and they wouldn't be there if we went back, or...
Yeah, and I really appreciate you sending those pictures, by the way. And everybody, I will, obviously the episode image is the bridge itself, but I will put in all of the photos that Andy has sent along so that you guys can all see that, because that is the actual bridge and location where they saw the these strange gnome accoutrements. And yes, please, if you guys are out there and have any story similar to this, or maybe you're not even sure of what it was, not sure what to label it, great, fine. Just get in touch, because I know that I would love to hear it, and so would Andy. Well, Andy, did you want to switch gears and talk about some Bigfooty stuff?
Sure.
Awesome.
I don't want you to get too excited, though, because they're maybe kind of Bigfoot.
It's all right. Sometimes those are just as important because, yeah, I'm just all about throwing that line out there and connecting the dots, you know?
I guess I'll start with the one where I think it may have been. About two summers ago, like summer of 2019, me and my fiance were out on my parents' porch of their log cabin out in the woods. So from the gnome story, about 15 minutes toward the lake that way. Out in the woods, and my fiance was doing some recreational smoking, which is legal in Michigan. And we were just sitting out there talking. I'm always looking up at the stars, everything, like I said, and the aliens. We heard rustling in the bushes to the right of us. And in front of my parents' house, they have cement that they put down that we park our cars in. And then our garage is on the other side of that. So we're basically blocked from the road, but then on the right side is the woods. And we heard rustling, and, you know, it's rural Michigan. I thought it might be a raccoon or, I don't know, anything else, the possum that comes out at night. My parents' cat was inside at the time, so we know it wasn't him making sounds. But so we looked and kind of got creeped out, because I've lived in the woods my whole life. I grew up in that house, and I have always been afraid of what's in the dark, not the dark itself, I always say. So we kind of froze and looked, and we were waiting for something to move again. And we weren't taking our eyes off the spot where we heard the sound. And then it started up again, and it sounded like a person walking. Like, it sounded like 2 feet in the leaves. And so we were sitting there ready for someone to, like, pop out of the woods, which, from that direction, my parents, we used to raise pigs. So we have a pig pen up behind our house that's empty now. And then my parents store their firewood there because they have a wood stove. So I just assumed middle of the summer, someone's back there stealing firewood like they always do in the middle of the night. They saw a porch light, they were trying to be quiet, etc. But no one came out. Whatever it was, got to the edge of the trees, and it was summer, so the leaves were kind of covering, and there was this little open spot where there weren't branches, and it was like this tannish gray color. So like our first thought was like, oh, it was probably a deer, because there's lots of deer in the woods also, and they maybe smelled the smoke. But like I said, I grew up in the woods. I know what a deer sounds like, and to me, that did not sound like a deer walking in the woods at all. And just the vibe of it, like, it felt like it should have been a person. Like, even just them standing there, and then it was just quiet. And then we decided to get up and go inside because we were so freaked out. And so I don't know if it moved again or if it ran away or what happened. It was just also a very eerie experience.
That is an interesting point about, you know, smoking. Anytime anybody's smoking kind of anything, not anytime, that was a bad choice of words. Occasionally you'll hear that, like someone's going to light up or they just lit up and they've been smoking for 30 seconds, a minute, and then in comes something. I don't know if it agitates them or if they're just interested by it because they probably don't smell smoke of any kind too often that smells like that. I think, you know, wood burning is probably a little bit different than the smell of weed burning, right? I mean, let's face it. So maybe it was just kind of like going, that's different. If that's what it was, of course. But
that first thing I go to, I was like, oh, it had to be.
That had to be what? What was that, Andy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, that's the first thing that when it happened too, after we weren't freaked out, was like, oh, must have been Bigfoot. That's like what I.
Well, but if it wasn't Bigfoot, that means it was a person being a real creeper, right? Which is also pretty freaky.
Yeah, exactly. And then I had also had a thought, again, recently I had learned about a knot deer. I don't know if you're familiar.
No.
Knot deer. So I heard it on another cryptid podcast that I listened to, and it's basically a deer that it looks like a deer, but it's generally on its back legs, and there's something off about it, like its legs are bent the opposite way, or the face doesn't really look like a deer, and it's been called a not deer. It's also all over Reddit, which I've also heard that that can kind of be similar to the skinwalker, but that's not really a thing, I don't think, out in Michigan necessarily. So just with the color of it, and then it's like it's sounding like 2 feet, that's something that my brain kind of went to. But
did it sound like something heavy though, or could it have been something lighter like a person or something else?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I think, like, it didn't sound crazy heavy. Like, it wasn't like the ground was moving or anything, but it definitely felt like it should have been a person. Like, in my brain, I would think an older male. So heavier, but not light like a deer or like a child.
How long before had your parents raised pigs out there? Was that a long, long time before that?
Yeah, it had been probably like 10 years, okay. Not a little bit more than that.
I was going to say they had the bacon buffet there, you know, just coming in for some bacon, yeah, every once in a while. But, you know, probably most of the properties out there have some kind of animals or livestock running around. Everybody's got dogs, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. When I was growing up, our dogs would sometimes come home with whole cow legs because we're surrounded by fields and agriculture and things like that. So there's definitely those kinds of animals, chickens, ducks around.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have, I mean, reports of pretty much everything up in Michigan. And last but not least, the old dog man, the wolf man, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, I mean, it's it. You talk about the not deer, backwards legs. What you don't want is the old dog man with his backwards legs, because they're always seeming so ticked off and pissy all the time. And then, oh, did you want to cover the, you kind of mentioned also some kind of a Bigfoot dream. Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I can cover that. It's a little bit more obscure because it is a dream, but it's just always something that's kind of stuck with me, especially growing up and now being in the cryptids and that sort of thing. So when I was about like 6 or 7, I used to have this reoccurring dream. I get these often where like I'll have one dream and I'll have it for like a week or 2 weeks or something, and then I won't ever have it again. And at my playground in my elementary school, which is about maybe 5 minutes, probably less, from where my parents' house is, where I grew up, there was a play structure, and they had a big slide on it, and it's called the Bigfoot slide. And I've only been able to find like one video on the internet of it, and otherwise it doesn't seem like it even exists. But it was this big slide, and it had three separate slides on it. So one was like smooth, the other one had like little grooves in it, and the other one had like bumps on it, so it was like a different experience. And then at the bottom it was kind of scalloped almost, so it looked like toes. So then the whole slide itself looked like Bigfoot, like a foot. And then it said Bigfoot at the top of it. And as a kid, we thought it was like the coolest thing. But so in my dream, that's where this took place. I was on the playground at school, and no one else was on the playground with me. It was just me. And I was kind of back behind the Bigfoot slide because it was attached to the rest of the play structure. And so behind to the side of it. there was this like portal, and it kind of looked like what you would think TV static, you know, black and white, but then also sometimes you get those rainbow colors in there. And it looked just like that. And there was no one around, but I would always get this feeling in the dream of, I need to go into that. Like, I'm supposed to go into that static. But then I always, for some reason, would fight it. And I, like, was scared and didn't want to. But then as soon as I would decide, okay, I'm going to see, I would, like, go toward it. And then as soon as I moved to go toward it, into it, I would wake up. And this would happen, like I said, it was probably, like, 2 weeks. I would have this dream every night.
Isn't that kind of strange how you do wonder, what would have happened to me if I just would have gone ahead and gone through the static? Why does our brain wake us up before then?
Yeah, exactly. It's like when if you are going to die in a dream or you fall from a building or something, and it's before you hit the ground, you wake up. It was like one of those feelings. And I just, getting older, thought it was strange because sometimes you do hear, like we had said with the gnomes and the fae, with like portals and dimensions and stuff. Like some people have that theory about Bigfoot. It's probably not correlated at all because it was a dream. But I just always thought that was interesting how it was like the Bigfoot slide,
right?
The portal. And like when I was that age, I didn't really know about that stuff. Like I said, I wasn't into that sort of thing. I knew I liked aliens and like they were green and it was the 90s, but I wasn't into Bigfoot or portals or like a really random thing I feel like for my brain to come up with.
That's a cool dream. I like that. The Bigfoot slide with the portal. If you could choose to see, you could see Bigfoot, and it wasn't a totally terrifying experience for either one of these. It's just you have a confirmation. Would you rather see the one of the little dudes that left the footprint, or would you rather see Bigfoot?
That's hard. I think if I was by myself, I would want to see a little person or like a gnome. But if I was with someone, I think Bigfoot, because my dad's recently kind of into that sort of thing. So I think if like specifically I was with him, that would be kind of cool. But I think personally, just because I think I've had that connection or that experience, probably a little.
That's kind of cool that your dad has recently gotten into Bigfoot. Is that for any particular reason?
I don't think so. I just think with quarantine, basically, him and my mom haven't been working nearly as much. So they watch more TV and they bought a bigger TV and like Finding Bigfoot and like all of those kind of shows are on. And he's a hunter, so he's an outdoorsman and likes all of those shows. So I think it's just something he slowly gravitated towards. And then I think he sort of thinks it's a joke, but at the same time, we sort of talk about it, and I think he thinks they're real. He's down.
Yeah, he just has to, a lot of times it takes a long time for the facade to fall away before you can actually talk about it with a straight face, because, you know, you don't want to actually let people know that you might think that's real, right?
Exactly. Last summer, we were having a bonfire in their yard, and with my sister and my three young nieces, and my fiance was there, and I was just throwing out whoops. And I was like, Dad, do you want to call him the Bigfoot? And he was like laughing at me, but I think he secretly was like, no, stop. Like, what if it works?
Deep down, he's like, oh, I know I could execute the perfect whoop right now. He'll get there.
Exactly.
He'll get there. Don't even worry about it. As you know, it just, once you get the fever, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And there's just no end to the amount of information and the stories that you can come across and the data points. And oh my gosh, yeah. And you brought up Reddit. I mean, if you get on Reddit, granted, it can be a very nefarious place, just like YouTube or anywhere else. But I mean, goodness gracious, there's some fantastic rabbit holes to go down once you really start getting into any of the subjects that you know I cover or Derek covers.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And there have been so many times there will be someone on the podcast I'm listening to, yours or Monsters Among Us or whatever, and they're talking about their book, and I'll just immediately, like, as I'm listening to it on my speakerphone, go to Amazon, find it, buy it as I'm listening to it. And it's just like another form of information that I've been collecting with everything else, even online.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, heck, once we do Paramalgamation Part 2, I mean, I think it'd be pretty cool to put in your your gnome story, you know, and then maybe I could find a couple others if anybody else would be willing to come on, you know, and share, even if you didn't see one. I mean, you know, hey guys, Andy's story is really cool. Yeah, she didn't see it, but there's a lot of really cool facts in there that they did experience. So please, again, get in touch with me if you guys have experienced anything like this. I mean, these are the really weird one-off stories that I'm trying to find more of, because they, you just can't really, yeah, is it Faye? Are they dimensional? Which really you could call Faye dimensional, but you know what I mean? Is it something completely different? I don't know. I just don't know. And that's the kind of stuff that I love the most.
I think too that maybe, especially now that I'm bringing this up again, that in July, my fiance and I will actually be back in that area for 2 weeks, because we're getting married in that area. So possibly, if we have time, I could maybe get back down there and follow up with you if I find anything similar or if it's different now because of the construction, if you'd like.
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah, that would be so awesome, Andy. Thank you. And congratulations on your wedding.
Thank you.
Yeah, any follow-up would be incredible. And if I get a hold of any, or excuse me, strike that, reverse it. If anybody gets a hold of me, I will get in touch with you. Even if they don't want to come on the show, but they're like, hey, pass this on to Andy, I will certainly do that. It's not like if you don't want to come on the show, I won't share the information with Andy. Obviously, that's a lot of times my goal is just to stay in touch with everybody and kind of keep the information flowing. So, well, Andy, thank you so much for your time. I was excited to hear this gnome story, and I'm really looking forward to getting some more correspondence from hopefully some other experiencers out there.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I was so excited, like I said, and that'd be awesome if anyone does reach out. I would love to hear if anyone has any other stories, and we can kind of mix and match and see how they work together.
yes, please, guys, let's do this. Oh my gosh, little people and gnome stories, let's get more of them. Well, Andy, thank you so much. I will be in contact, I promise.
Okay, awesome. I'll let you know too if you go investigate.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm so and so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little bio. Buddha says forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is it? Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. See how they play with this exam by the koans to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. They will say, no, we don't believe literally in reincarnation. That after your funeral, you know, you will suddenly become somebody different, living somewhere else. They will say reincarnation means this, that if you sitting here now are really convinced that you're the same person who walked in at the door half an hour ago, you're being reincarnated. If you are liberated, you understand that you're not. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. There is only the present. That's the only real you that there is. The Zen master Dogen put it this way. He said, spring does not become the summer. First there is summer, and then there is spring.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.